Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. The Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Previously recorded with Mark as the host of The Mark Kohler Show.
Enjoy this fresh take on strategies to better live the American dream.
All right, well, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, excited to be here with you. This is going to be an awesome show. This is, of course, titled, The Top Scams to Avoid in America Today. And I know this is going to get listened to over and over again. I'm sure it'll go out in social networks everywhere. This is a really, really important topic, and it may not sound that sexy, but this is a really important issue because it's just as much saving our money and protecting it as it is making money. And we're going to bust it down today. So welcome. For those that are new to the show, my name is Mark Kohler, your host, a CPA attorney, best-selling author, family man, just trying to live the American dream, just like you, and bringing you a live radio show weekly for the last 6 years. Coming up on my 300th show. So we're going to be having a big celebration for that soon, and it's been a great ride. And this is one of my favorite times of the week. It really is. I was going to say my most favorite time of the week, but that would be a little push because those weekends are special, right? Getting out here at 5 o'clock on a Friday and trying to do something fun. Some of you may have seen some of my fun surfing videos. Yes, I am a CPA, and I try to surf and be cool. It's not pretty. Please don't have visions of Kelly Slater when you see a surf video of mine. Just respect it, you know, the goal here. But I love to be out there having fun with my family and friends. I live in Southern California and travel around the country and write blog articles and shoot videos to, again, help my clients around the country better live their American dream with their small business and building wealth. So today is going to be just that, another way to build wealth through avoiding the scams out there. Now, as many of you know that are regular listeners, I want to do a few updates, go over our newsletter for a quick moment, and the blog articles went out this morning. Just make a couple little commentary, side note points that might help you, and we'll jump into some tips with our regular tipsters here for a minute. And then Jaron Bergeson, a regular contributor to my show. He oftentimes will host if I'm on vacation. He's an incredible radio personality for our office. He's a great guy, an attorney as well, and he's going to be joining me to talk about these top scams. And folks, we're almost to, like, let me see on my list. I know we're going to have close to 15 different scams to avoid, and we're going to convert this into a blog article that will go out next week. So this is going to be really powerful info to share with your friends and family. Now, on the newsletter today, a few points. Number one, there's no major tax deadline, but folks, we've got the Obamacare health insurance deadlines that are coming up. So no matter what time of year you're listening to this show, there could be a tax deadline for, in a sense, when it comes to Obamacare, because remember, the Supreme Court of the United States said the penalty for not carrying insurance constitutes a tax, and it is enforceable on your tax return, and the IRS is the one that's been charged to make that happen. So think of it like a tax, for lack of a better word, if you don't have insurance. So there's a few tips this fall. We're in the fall season right now. So for those of you that are listening to this timely enough, November 30th is a big deadline, because if you want to take a health savings account contribution deduction this year, which you'll have until April 15th to do it, you could do it right now or wait until April 14th. Well, I guess the day of April 15th you could do it. But you have to have your qualifying health insurance policy in place by the end of November. So very, very important that as you're out shopping on the exchanges, as you're talking to your personal health insurance agent, if they're outside of the exchange, talk about the health savings account. And I've repeated this over and over again. If you're healthy, Get a higher deductible and self-insure yourself with a supercharged IRA for healthcare, a.k.a. the health savings account. So the deadline is November 30th. If not, you're going to be into 2014 before you can take a write-off for health savings accounts. So a lot of people don't realize that, November 30th. Also, December 1st, which is a Monday, is the deadline for renewing your, or should I say that's a Sunday? Anyway, I should have a calendar up here in front of me, but I don't. But December 1st is the deadline for renewing your current health insurance plan if you're a small business owner. And I know many, many of our listeners are small business owners. So you've got to renew, say, keep your same insurance plan to keep your costs down. USA Today, I put this in the newsletter, is reporting that 60 to 80% of small business owners that have less than 50 employees, which many of you, this could just be your own personal plan, you and your spouse or children. You're saving money to renew your old plan because you get one more year under the old rules before you have to go under the Obamacare schematic of the 10 aspects of a health insurance plan. So we're all shifting over. But this is the last time you can keep the older type style plan if you want to do it, if it qualifies. So here's my point, and I've made this over the last few months. Make sure you get out and ask your insurance agent how much it is to renew your current plan. Then go out and shop, and you might be better to just keep your current plan one more year. So think about that. Also in the newsletter, we've got several more workshops coming up. New York is in a week and a half, November 16th, and it's almost sold out. I've only got 6 or 8 seats left, and I'm going to be announcing tomorrow that I'm providing lunch at that workshop. It's going to work out well with our location, so you're going to get lunch too. And I know that's going to sell out by the weekend. So if you're on the East Coast and you're interested, or some of you that want to just come out to New York, take a tax write-off for the weekend, do some fall holiday shopping. Oh, New York in November is just beautiful. So come out on Saturday the 16th. We'll be back in Orange County on the 23rd. And then on the newsletter, I highlight Hawaii. Why not do a workshop in Hawaii December 7th? And we've got a room block that will end this weekend. So we got a special deal at the Outrigger Hotel on Waikiki Beach. The Hawaiian Air flights are very, very competitive right now if you book it at least a month out. So by November 7th, you're going to have a higher cost to get out there. So this is the weekend to decide. Talk to your significant other and see if you want to come out. Got some great blog articles out there on the newsletter today, charging order protection, some good asset protection, and Matt Sorensen wrote a new article on a case that just came out on IRA LLCs. So really, really powerful. It's the Ellis v. Commissioner case. Many of you will hear about this case and Matt's new book, which we'll be having him on the show in the next month or so to highlight his new book. He'll be talking about that case. So read that. If you have an IRA LLC or thinking about it, you're going to want to read that article. Okay, so there's just a couple updates. Hopefully that's helpful. News, I just love it. I'm a geek. I just think that this information is the coolest thing in the world. So I hope some of you feel that as well, or I suppose so, or you wouldn't be listening. Now, I want to bring out a couple experts right off the bat before we get into our top scams in America today. Number one, I want to bring out Jeremy Martin. Now, Jeremy has been on the show before. This will be brief. I promised him it would be short because he's very, very busy. He's one of our personal tax consultants in the office. He's amazing, but he is also our IT resident expert, and he has been a huge asset to many of our tax clients who are trying to go paperless with their receipts and their reporting, and I've talked about this repeatedly over the year about scanning your receipts and having an efficient way to track them. So I asked Jeremy if he'd join us on the show and talk about what he thinks the most efficient way is to scan your receipts and to prevent a potential problem in an audit. I don't want to see your receipts. Jeremy doesn't want to see your receipts, but I know he's got a method for us to track our receipts for that future audit that could happen. So Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mark. Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Well, I appreciate it. Many of you, of course, all of you don't know with a short notice of this request for having Jeremy on the show. It was just moments ago. I said, dude, jump on the show and tell me about my new receipt strategy because I got to get mine dialed in a little sharper here. And I'm going to pose the question, Jeremy. What do you think the most efficient way and affordable, I a.k.a. Mark Kohler Cheap. What's the most affordable way to scan receipts and track them? Throw down. What do you got? What's the best way?
I'm going to throw out Google Drive, and, you know, I'm a proponent of Google. I like their their products, but Google Drive is probably one of the easiest to use, and when you need additional space, it's one of the most affordable as well. So you're not going to have very high cost, and they offer quite a bit of free storage just off the bat. And another thing that I really like about Google Drive, and I do need to test that on the iOS a little bit more, but on Android, you're able to just take a picture, and it automatically converts it to a PDF, and you can save it to your receipts folder or wherever you want, and that's synced to your computer instantly. And that's probably my favorite feature, just because you use one app and it takes care of everything that you're trying to accomplish.
Oh, I love it, Jeremy. Now, folks, I know that some of you might be using Neat Receipts, which I've talked about before, where you can scan at your desktop. There is a Neat Receipt app. There's Evernote. There's Dropbox. I know that there's all sorts of competitors in this space. This is Jeremy Martin's opinion, who we hold out as the guru in our office. He's fantastic. So we're just going to, for those of you that are already using Google or Gmail, this could be a perfect fit for you. So, Jeremy, let me ask you this. Practically speaking, there's a couple steps, right? I've got to install an app on my phone and then have the app on my computer. Give us a couple of the steps to make this seamless for out there, for those that aren't as techie as you.
Well, the nice part about it is, you know, you can find that app on your Play Store or the iTunes, the App Store. That's easy. Install it. You're going to log in with your Gmail information, and you're done. Then as far as on your computer, or if you're, you know, if you're using a MacBook or PC, you can just go into your Gmail account, and they have the drop down. It's like a little grid. Looks kind of like the button to get to your apps. And you just hit Drive, and it'll walk you through installing that on your computer. And that's it. So it's not, you don't have to remember a special address or anything. You can do that all from inside of your Gmail account. And, you know, if you have Google Apps, so you use that for your business, so you may not think you have a Gmail account, you know, you still, you can use any address with your Google account to get that. So it doesn't have to be a Gmail account address.
I love it. Okay, so once I've got it on my desktop, I've got it on my phone, it's just kind of testing it a little bit, and there, and ultimately all my receipts should go into a receipt folder. And folks, I would recommend just call it a 2013 receipts folder, obviously, and start scanning things in. And in fact, I need to be honest, on mine, it's not called 2013 receipts, it's called 2013 tax info. So if someone sends me a 1099, if someone sends me some sort of tax data information, it could be a interest statement, a dividend statement, a HUD, anything like that, I just scan into that tax folder. And so that when it's time to prepare my taxes, I can print out that folder, I can look at what I need to. Some of you that are probably a little more anal, you'd probably have a receipts folder and a tax info folder so that they're not combobulated and mess. But Jeremy, any final suggestions for people trying to get organized?
I think we've pretty much covered it. Just, you know, you are going to get a lot of files in there if you're scanning them in. So you may want a couple different folders, but you can choose all of that and move it around, whatever's comfortable for you. It's pretty easy. You can eliminate the scanner altogether, or you can still scan into that folder if you have the scanner. So it works both ways.
And Jeremy, I just had an idea here that's huge. We could even have Sandy Beecham join us on the call, our head accounting services director. I bet you at times people could share that folder with her on the accounting team as they're reconciling books or doing some of the bookkeeping. So this is a folder you can share with others and put even a password on it or things like that so that people in your accounting services team could even access the folder for receipts or data if they needed it, I suppose.
Yeah, that can be done, and I know, you know, depending on what tech people are listening, they may be cringing right now because that's maybe not the best practices to share things through Dropbox or Google Drive, but there are some things that you can do to make that more secure through the passwords like you mentioned. But yeah, all of that can be done very easy, and we do have some clients that utilize that right now. So
I love it. Well, Jeremy, thanks for jumping on the show here quickly. I've been talking about this a lot in my workshops around the country and in blog articles that people, we need to be focused on keeping good receipts. There was a case, I talk about it at every workshop you come to, the Betty Ong case from last year out of San Francisco, a realtor that kept no receipts, and she wanted to fight it with the IRS, which was probably a bad idea, and they disallowed all of her expenses. And it was it's a nightmare of a case. It's out there in the 2012 circuit, 2012 year, it's just brutal. So, folks, it's a reality we have to take care of. We've got to keep track of our receipts. Just throw them in a folder. Jeremy, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll have you back soon.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
All right. Thank you. All right. Well, folks, we're going to keep moving along here because we've got a lot to cover today. We are honored to have one of our regular contributors to the show, my infamous and amazing partner, Liddell Ayer of K&E CPAs, a senior partner in the firm and such a good friend. Some of you may have seen the pictures I put on Facebook in our staff meeting last week, or is it 2 weeks? Maybe it was last week. He and his son brought in a ram. I'm not talking an elk or a deer. He brought a ram head into our staff meeting because he just came off the mountain. It was an exciting staff meeting. We took a picture and put it on Facebook, but pretty exciting. So, Liddell, are you out on the mountain right now, or are you in the office?
Mark, unfortunately, I'm in the office.
Well, I know that kills you this time of year. It's so pretty out on the mountain. What was this ram?
Yeah.
Did I call it right? It's a ram, right?
Yeah, it's a desert bighorn sheep, and the male desert bighorn sheep is called a ram. Mm.
Now, we've been through this discussion before because you've tried to explain to me what a bull and a cow and
cow.
All those. I get really confused on those things, but
but it translates over into wild animals too. We could have that discussion sometime. I was trying to teach you domestic livestock, but it carries over into wild animals also.
I love it. We don't want to bring up cow testicles in our radio show today, so we'll leave that talk, birds and the bees talk, for me another day. But folks, you maybe noticed here with Liddell, he's our expert for farming and agriculture clients around the country. He serves on the Western Ag Board of Directors, and he himself grew up on a dairy farm, and he helps so many of our agriculture clients keep their situation dialed in with the IRS. So big topic. Well, Liddell, you're going to bring us a tax tip today. What do you got for us?
Well, I was going to bring you a few. You stole my thunder on one of them. One of them was getting your high deductible health insurance set up so you can qualify for the HSA. And, you know, here we are less than 60 days before year end. This is the time for tax planning. You know, get with your local accountant. If you're a client of ours, get your appointment scheduled with us. Get your books pulled together. Know where you're at for the year with your income and deductions. And like Mark said earlier, there's a few of those. You know, there's not a tax deadline this month, but there kind of is if you want to take advantage of, like, the health savings account, getting your high deductible plan in place. You got to be aware of what equipment you can still purchase before year end to take advantage of Section 179, and possibly prepaying expenses. You know, I do a lot of agricultural planning with my farmers within the next 60 days. They are my largest planners. They are totally on the ball when it comes to taxes. You wouldn't, you know, you think, well, they just farm or whatever. They are the biggest tax planners that I have. They're wanting to know, do I go buy a tractor? Do I go prepay fuel? Do I go prepay feed? They want their information dialed in. And you know, clients or people out there listening to the radio show could take a good lesson from them. You know, they want to know, exactly where they're at for year end. So they don't make a move that's, you know, not necessarily tax advantageous for them. They like to keep the cash, and they do like, you know, they don't like to pay taxes. They will pay some taxes, but I think it's a good lesson for everybody out there. Get your stuff in order. Get your appointment scheduled with your CPAs, whether it be us or your local accountant or whoever. But do that. Do some planning. You know, you might be able to prepay some state taxes. You might be able to, you know, don't forget your charitable contributions. You know, you make them a day late, they go into next year versus this year. There's just the next 60 days is very crucial to your tax planning and your tax liability. You can change your tax liability that you're going to owe next April 15th drastically by planning in the next 60 days.
Very good point. You know, it's funny, folks, when Liddell and I, over the years, done workshops and webinars this time of year, the number one tip on our list every time we start this discussion, when people say, Mark, my year-end tax tips, what's number one? Get organized. Get your QuickBooks dialed in. Get your bookkeeping dialed in. Because you can't make an educated decision if your books are a disaster. And it'll help you get your tax return done sooner in the spring. And I love it. Liddell, great tip. Good stuff. I guess the law of the harvest and farmers, they really know what they're doing, huh?
Yeah, they do. They like to harvest their taxes. they are a big planner. So everybody can take a lesson from, you know, from their style of pre-planning for taxes.
Well, that's a great point. And I know that you're hitting the local circuit in Utah, central and southern Utah. I guess you're out teaching some classes on year-end planning and estate planning for farmers this time of year. So this is fun for you to be out on the road, I take it.
Yep. I have to tell you what I did this weekend. I went buffalo hunting with a client
really?
Of mine. And yeah, I went buffalo hunting with a client of mine, and we end up getting a buffalo. So it's been kind of an interesting fall with the different things we've been able to hunt. But
now, did you do the Kevin Costner thing where you're on your horse, and then right when you're ready to shoot, you kind of get up on your stirrup, and then you shot the buffalo? Like,
no, there was no movie crew there. It wasn't quite like that. But I did video it, and it might be on TV here in Utah next Saturday.
Oh, wow.
So if it all works out, if my video works out, they're airing it on the outdoor show here in Utah.
Wow. How much does a buffalo weigh?
Boy, I'd say probably, I'd bet they were close to 1,000 pounds or more. There was 300 and something pounds of meat that came off it.
Wow.
But the head and the neck and stuff are the biggest part, but pretty crazy.
Well, that's interesting. So. Well, Liddell, for all those Greenpeace advocates listening to the show, you sent chills up their spine. I'm sorry, folks. You know, keep an open mind. It's a wonderful country where we live. At least you were at LAX with your gun. You're out in the mountains with a gun, and that's what matters.
Yeah. And what people have to understand, too, like, you know, you were talking about that ram, Mark. Well, that ram wouldn't even be in that country to enjoy, be other people to view, if it weren't for the hunter. The hunter is the one that's put up all the money, transplanted them in there, done everything for people to view. So it goes both ways. People get to enjoy a lot of the things that other people do, you know, no matter what it may be, which side of the fence you're on. So people get to enjoy it because of what another person did for them.
Yeah, the wildlife organizations supported Ducks Unlimited, for example. They do a lot to maintain and conserve our wildlife. Well, Liddell, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming out. I know it's a busy time of year, and thank you for the tip.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you. All right, Liddell Ayer. Wow, exciting story. Hunting a buffalo, kind of cool. That's pretty manly. Okay, well, folks, we're going to jump into these top scams in America today. We've got, we're not even to the bottom of the hour, so we got plenty of time. And as I mentioned earlier, I want to bring out co-host today, who is helpline's daily, if not weekly, with potential scams that they're facing in their business and in their personal lives, and they seek the advice of a lawyer. This is a very common call that we have at our office, and I feel as a consumer advocate and the books I've written that I owe a duty to you, my listeners, and my clients, that we talk about this on a regular basis. So this is probably a show I've held once a year over the last 5 years to talk about the current scams that are out there. I hope you can share this show with your friends and family, especially you parents out there. You'd want to make your kids listen to this. But we're going to dive into it. So I want to welcome Jerem Bergeson to the show, a fellow attorney in our office and radio host. Jerem, thank you so much.
Great to be with you, Mark.
Great to be here with you. Now, I know, as many of you know, I'm not going to get distracted. I could bring up the NFL and football quickly. Jerem is a statistician, for lack of a better word, when it comes to NFL, so we'll leave that alone. For any of you that would like to send Jerem an email and talk football, you'll suck him into a conversation very quickly. but, Jerem, let's talk scams here. Now, I've got my list. I know that we prepared for the show, both of us preparing a list of the scams that probably we hear about the most, we're worried about for our clients. I've been talking quite a bit this show so far, so I'm going to throw it out to you first. I'm going to let you tell us what you – they don't have to be in any sort of priority, and I'm going to keep a list here to prepare for a future blog article in the next week. What scam do you want to warn us about first?
Well, I think I'll go with one that's relatively new, that's kind of ripped from the headlines, for a lack of a better term. And you've been talking about this subject out there in your seminars and workshops, and it's Obamacare. And with not that Obamacare is a scam, maybe some people think it is. Maybe in some ways it is. But some people are taking advantage of, and a lot of scams are this way, of the lack of information out there or people's fears of the unknown as it relates to Obamacare to prey on sometimes the elderly, or maybe not even elderly, but just those who are eligible for Medicare. They'll call people and say, hey, you're going to lose your Medicare coverage unless you give me over the phone, I'm from the government, some of your personal information because you need a new Medicare card because of Obamacare. Or they're offering some sort of discount medical plan that they say that you have to have in order to be to have insurance under Obamacare. Those are the sorts of things that people need to be on the lookout. You need to be paying attention to the news. You need to be paying attention to Mark Kohler when he's giving you information on Obamacare and how to deal with it, because there are people out there that will take advantage of people's fears and lack of information about what Obamacare is, what you have to do to be eligible for insurance, and what it is that you have to do now or don't have to do right now. So that's one that's out there that I've seen and heard a lot about.
I like it. I was listening to, actually, it was on NPR, driving home yesterday, and there was a show on a group in the Washington, D.C. area that was holding workshops at the local church, giving misinformation about Obamacare and signing them up for insurance in the back of the room. And come to find out, the pastors, the church leaders involved, were getting a commission from the insurance company in the back of the room. And so that was just on NPR yesterday. Now, this is interesting. I'm glad you brought this up. This was an item you and I did not discuss in advance, and I'm glad you brought it up. That's very, very apropos. Okay, Obamacare. So be careful, folks. Double-check and triple-check the information you're getting on health insurance. Okay, is it my turn? Can I throw one out?
I'll let you. Think?
Okay, all right.
I think it's time.
I'm going to throw out some of the controversial ones here initially. And by the way, I just got an email from one of our listeners on an incredible article. We'll bring this up in just a moment. I'm going to bring up Iraqi dinar. Now, I know that some of you listening would say, how dare you say that Iraqi dinar is a scam? Some of you are like, what the heck are you talking about? So I'll give you my two cents, and then Jerem, you can add yours. First of all, here's the pitch. Hey, Iraq does not have its own currency right now. It's still based on U.S. currency. It's a mess. And they are eventually going to go back to Iraqi dinar. So why don't you buy Iraqi dinar notes, or not notes, but paper, or coins, on for pennies, literally pennies on the dollar. And when the Iraqi dinar system is reinstituted, this dinar is going to be worth 10, 20, 100 times more than you paid for this paper currency, and you'll make a ton of money. And we have been meeting with clients for 6 years that have been sold Iraqi currency, and they think that next weekend it's going to convert and they're going to make millions. Now, it may come about. You may make your money. And I hope and pray for those many, many clients that have spent thousands of dollars. We're talking IRA money, all sorts of money going into this Iraqi currency. And I wish you the best. But I just am sick and tired of hearing this pitch. And yesterday, Jerem, just yesterday, I had a phone call from a client out of Chicago that said, Mark, I've got some Iraqi dinar. I might make a ton of money this weekend. How should I structure it? He said, if you make the money, call your mom and then call me. We'll worry about taxes later. I'm not going to charge you for a bunch of structuring. And I couldn't take advantage of them. It's just, it's travesty. Jerem, what do you think? I mean, am I calling out it's something that's not a scam? What do you think?
You know, it's something that right now, I mean, until and unless these Iraqi dinar actually revalue, it sure feels like a scam right now. And it preys upon a couple things, and a couple things that I think you need to watch out for in general. One is the clients that I've talked to about Iraqi dinar, they've invested maybe $5,000, maybe $10,000, which is, in my opinion, probably more than they should have invested if they invested anything. But here's a red flag. I've invested $5,000, but they will call me saying, I expect that $5,000 investment to now be worth $5 million or more than that, you know, some huge amount of money, some huge appreciation in a relatively short amount of time. Any investment that's promising that sort of return or hinting at that sort of return, it's the old, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. That's kind of the first red flag. Invest $5,000 and make $5 million. That's a red flag. The other one is this thing was supposed to revalue last week and 2 months ago and a month ago or a year ago and 2 years ago. It's just they keep pushing it out and pushing it out, and there's never any mainstream information about it. You've got to go find some dark back room on the internet to get information about what's going to be happening with the Iraqi dinar. It feels like a scam to me. Gosh, for the folks that I've talked to, I hope it's not. I hope they make a ton of money, and if they do, we can certainly help them from an asset protection standpoint and saving on taxes. But it breaks my heart because I feel like it's not going to happen, but I hope it does.
Yeah, it is too bad. Okay, well, we'll keep moving along. We'll both make a comment and move to the next one. Be careful out there on that Iraqi issue. Okay, Jerem, the floor is yours. Throw out our next one.
You know, I'm going to go with something that I know you've had Holly, who does our company maintenance, on the show, and I think she's talked about it a little bit. And it's scams that have to do with your entity. If you set up an LLC or a corporation, you know, some of that those registration materials are public record, and people will take those lists or those records and send you things in the mail that look like they're from the state of California or the state of Utah or Arizona or whatever state you registered your business in, telling you that you need to do something additional in order to have your company correctly registered with the state. Be very careful if you're receiving anything from anybody that says you need to do anything extra once you set up a company. Now, there is company maintenance, and that's a plug in there for Holly and for our company maintenance program. We'll stay on top of what it is you need to do, and anything other than that is purely optional. But be on the lookout, because they're going to make it look like it's coming from a state agency and that it's something that has to be done. Lots of times it is some sort of service, but it's a service that you don't have to have. that probably isn't worth anywhere near what they're charging you. And they're being really dishonest and kind of cloaking their service in some sort of official-looking clothing.
Yeah, no, great comment. I'm going to summarize it in one sentence again if some of you didn't catch the import of that. Is if you have an LLC or a corporation, every year you need to file an annual report. Well, there's companies out there that'll send you paperwork that has a state-looking-like insignia and say, it's time to renew, give us your money, and or you need to register with us, and really they're a P.O. box somewhere that's a scam. And that's the gist of it. So if you are on top of your own company maintenance, you'll know when the right time is and what that paperwork should look like. If you're not doing your own company maintenance and are on top of it, you can send it over to Holly at our office and say, Holly, is this legit? She'll tell you. She'll get you on our system. $150 a year, but simple. But it is a big scam out there, and I don't mean it to be self-serving like you said, Jerem, but be careful with those annual notices. Okay, let's go to the next one. I'm going to bring up, and just because I have a wonderful listener right now that sent me an email, I'm going to jump over to this one. I'm checking off my scams. Here we go. Is I want to talk about the I've got a deal for you type scam. And this is I know that's a broad comment. So let me just repeat that. It's kind of the deal. I got a deal. And it tends to be in real estate. It can be in some sort of business startup. And we're going to come over to this MLM get rich quick scheme strategy too. But this is the I've got a deal, and it's typically in real estate. And just moments ago, one of our listeners sent an article, and I want to, you know, give him a big thank you. Paul, this is great. This is an article that came out today in the Bay Area on NBC Bay Area, two charged in a Campbell real estate scam. I will link to this in my newsletter next week with the blog article. But basically, two guys making promises of 15% returns in real estate. They think it's up to $100 million in scheming out 25 victims. The civil racketeering suit from the feds is a $100 million suit. They think that these 25 victims were bilked for about $3.5 million. And please keep in mind, you may only steal $3.5 million, but the feds are going to come after you for 10 or 100 times that as they prosecute you, because they're not going to lose out. Now, here's the point. If someone is doing a real estate deal and you're not involved in decision making and they're going to give you guaranteed rates of return, be careful. I had a meeting with clients last week. They said, oh, this guy is so honest. He's got a great reputation. We get 15% rate of return. It's our LLC, but he's going to be the manager of it. La, 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 la. And I'm like, okay. But I'll just tell you, if he rips you off, you're going to put him in jail, because this is not good the way he structured this. It really has exposed this guy. And they go, we know, but we're willing to take the risk. And if he screws us over, we'll go after him through the feds and the SEC and local attorneys, and we feel we can do it. And I'm like, all right, be careful. Folks, that's a scary one. Be careful when people are making you promises of rates of return in a real estate deal. They have to register it as securities. There's a whole list of steps they should go through, and I would recommend you get a second opinion just so you know what you're getting into. So there you go. I mean, Jerem, anything you want to add to that? The real estate, I got a deal for you scam.
Yeah, I mean, I would just go down that same road. If somebody wants to take your money and invest it in real estate or anything else, and just like you said, you're not getting any decision-making authority, I mean, that's really a security. That's something that needs to be dealt with through SEC regulations. There's Regulation D offerings and all sorts of things and hoops that they need to be jumping through to be on the up and up. And you, as the investor, you want to see that they're doing those things, that they're being honest with you to start with, and they're being honest in following the law and SEC regulations. Because if they're willing to skirt those, then why would they act any differently when they're actually have your money? And how do you what do you have to say that they're not going to, or that they're going to do what they say they're doing with your money, that they're not going to just take off with it, or not that they're going to invest it in some different way that you didn't think that they were going to. If they're not following those regulations, then that's kind of a red flag of dishonesty. And on the other side, if you're looking to raise money, you need to make sure that you're doing it correctly so that you don't kind of get that same, you know, that reputation. Maybe what you're doing is honest, but if you're not following the rules and the law, you may get a reputation for being dishonest maybe when you're not. So you just need to be careful on both sides of that coin.
Yeah, great, great. Love it. Great addition to that. Great comment. Okay, so the ball's in your court. What scam should we talk about next? And folks, thank you so much. I want to say for some of you taking notes, maybe retweeting this or throwing this out in your network of contacts, our hope is that someone is going to hear one of these scams and go, oh my gosh, thanks for the reminder. I've got to be a little more careful. So anyway, Jeremy, go ahead.
I'm going to kind of stay on that same theme since we were talking about it. It's kind of a variation on the same theme, and it's what's called affinity fraud, which is where somebody that you know, that's a friend of yours, maybe a relative, maybe you know them previous work situation or church or something like that, somebody that you have a relationship with comes to you kind of in that same vein and says, here, I've got a deal for you. I want you to participate in this because I know you and because we're friends or relatives, and here's what we're going to do. And, you know, you have a level of trust with that person because of your previous relationship. That's where a lot of these frauds and scams can really proliferate, is people who you think are honest and upstanding and you know them will get involved in something like this, and they'll take down their friends and acquaintances and relatives with them. Sometimes with bad intentions from the start, sometimes just because they got mixed up in something that that they think is going to make money and it ends up not, and now you're out a lot of money. It's not that you can't invest with people that you know, but you need to research them and the investment just the same way you would any third party that you know nothing about.
Yeah, no, excellent. And I just want to add, affinity fraud, one of the top scams out there, is someone in your church, family, or neighborhood preying on you to have this relationship. And typically they'll say words like, oh, you don't need an attorney. Don't you trust me? We can do this. La, 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 la. And they'll typically throw in the, we got to move fast. It's an emergency. It's urgent. We're going to miss the deal. And that pressure, a relationship and a timeline is where they get you. So very, very dangerous. Be careful. Okay, I'm going to throw out another one here. Excuse me. And we're going to maybe rapid fire through more of these in our last 20 minutes. We've got a lot to cover. I'm going to just mention the shelf corporation. The shelf corporation is the one where some sort of, typically, and 99% of the time, it's a non-lawyer that is promoting some sort of entity set up out of Wyoming or Nevada 2 or 3 years ago, and you're just going to step into the shoes of this entity. You have no idea the liability that you could be taking on with this company. It had maybe operations, maybe not. You don't know. Typically, you're promised it's just a shelf. Nothing's happened in it. And by getting this shelf corporation, you're going to get corporate credit. So the shelf corporation and the corporate credit scam go hand in hand. Now, can you build corporate credit? Yes. Can you get credit lines that are in your business? Absolutely. Now, you're going to personally guarantee those. Your credit score is going to be a factor. But watch out for those folks that are selling these shelf corporations, typically from $2,000 to $10,000. And folks, it is not worth it. The type of credit you're going to get, the type of interest rates you'll pay, the lies and deceit that go with the shelf corporation and the corporate credit is very, very dangerous. Get a second opinion. Now, I'm not saying that anytime you hear corporate credit, it's a scam. I'm not saying that. It does work. But you have got to weed through the crap out there to find that that proper shelf corporation structure, if that's the best thing for you. So very, very big scam out there, very, very prevalent. Be careful. Jerem, what other scam have you got? Throw one out.
I would go with let's see. You know, it's one that you talk about a lot is this Nevada entity, that Nevada LLC or sometimes a corporation, but more often than not, some scammers, for lack of a better term out there, will say, regardless of what you're doing and where you're doing it, whatever kind of business you're involved in, you have to have a Nevada LLC in the mix as maybe a holding company to hold everything else, or maybe just to be the company that owns a rental that you have in a completely different state. They'll sell it as sometimes that, gosh, you're completely private. You don't have to disclose anything because it's Nevada, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Or, Nevada has no state income tax, so you've got to set up your entity in Nevada because it's going to be some sort of tax advantage. Those just aren't true. And 9 times out of 10, if not more than that, the Nevada entity serves no purpose other than costing you extra money to set up. And extra money to maintain going forward. At the end of the day, you need to usually be registered in the states and register your entity in the state where you're doing business. There's no tax, especially in an LLC, there's no tax difference whatsoever about where you set up your company, because all the taxes flow through to you personally, so you're going to pay taxes in the state where you live. So that's a big misconception and scam that's out there, is that you've got to have a Nevada or a Wyoming or a Delaware entity.
Yep, great point. And, of course, chapter of my book, great point. For those that are new listeners, you may be shocked about that. For those that are longtime listeners, there's no new news there. Now, I'm going to jump into a kind of a laundry list of some right here quickly on the IRS website. Now, I want to refer to this for many of you that haven't been there before. You can easily Google this, and it's called the IRS Dirty Dozen, the IRS Dirty Dozen Scams of 2013. It comes out every spring. I'm looking at the release right now on my screen. It's very easy to access. Again, just Google IRS Dirty Dozen 2013, and you'll find it. This is a big release. Theoretically, here it's probably, if you were to print it out, would be 2 or 3 pages. So I'm just going to hit some of the top ones and then throw it back to you, Jaron. But on this, one of them, these is identity theft and phishing, and that's phishing, so phishing with a ph at the beginning, which is one of my list, and it's also on the IRS Dirty Dozen. And basically, this is the process of someone sending you an email wanting you to verify your Social Security number or some information so that they can steal your identity. They can somehow set up credit cards in your name, max them out, get into your bank account, steal your credit card information. There are so many ways that identity theft can take advantage of folks. It's a huge, huge issue. Billions of dollars of fraud happens every year due to identity theft now with this onset of our technology and the internet. So we've got to be very, very cautious. We could do a whole show on identity theft, which we probably will. So I'm just going to leave this alone and just say identity theft and phishing. Be careful if anybody is sending you unsolicited email, fake websites potentially that could be verifying your information in order to steal your identity. There's tax preparers out there that that are taking advantage of people, lying on their tax returns, and then disappearing. We see this every year with new clients that are like, yeah, my accountant disappeared. We look at their return and we go, oh, yeah, well, I wonder why. Because they charged you a lot of money to save you taxes that if you got audited, you would fail. And they're shocked. Be careful using a return preparer that's not a licensed CPA or someone that's working out of a strip mall, and they just set up shop for tax season. Be careful. Offshore planning, be careful of trying to hide money offshore. I had a phone call this morning on this topic. Then I want to just hit one last one, is that right now there's the IRS sent out a YouTube video. I believe the IRS, that technical, Jaron, pretty crazy. And they sent out an email and a video on Halloween, October 31st, warning about a pervasive telephone scam where people will call. You'll get a phone call that represents themselves as an IRS individual. They'll verify your information, The victims hear background noise of other calls being conducted to mimic a call site. After they'll spoof the IRS toll-free number on the caller ID, so you think it's coming from the IRS, and they'll recite the last four digits of your Social Security number. And they'll say, they'll even use fake IRS names and badge numbers, and then they'll start gathering data. Folks, basically they say, if you are getting a phone call from the IRS, don't give any information, hang up and call the IRS back, which is 1-800-829-1040. 1-800-829-1040, and just say, I just got a call from the IRS. What do you need from me? What's going on? And then, but be very, very careful. Don't give credit card information. They'll ask for prepaid debit card or wire transfers. They'll say that you owe more taxes, and they scare you, and then that you need to send money immediately, or they're going to threaten deportation, arrest, suspension of your driver's license. They've said many calls have become hostile or insulting. So this can happen to the best of us. So be careful out there with the IRS. So check out the IRS Dirty Dozen. I didn't even hit all 12, of course, and watch out for phone calls from the IRS. So there you go, Jerem. Woo! Gosh, this sounds like such a downer phone call, doesn't it? This is kind of a crappy radio show in some ways because it's so sad that this stuff's going on out there. I feel. Anyway.
I thought you were saying that because I'm on the show. So
No, you're making the show better, that's for sure. All right, so Dirty Dozen, phishing, and IRS scams. What else you got?
You know, I just wanted to comment real quickly on phishing. I mean, it can be so pervasive. It's not just emails. It's not just phone calls. If you've got – I've seen text messages. You'll get text messages that look like they're coming from official sources. And I personally had a situation where I bank with Wells Fargo. And when I would log into Wells Fargo from my home computer, and only from my home computer for a while, a additional screen would come up asking me for all kinds of personal information. And I was getting ready to put that info. They just wanted to confirm all this information. I thought, this just seems weird. So I called Wells Fargo, and they said, no, we're not asking for you for that information. Some of those pieces of information we don't even keep. And what it was is there was some malware that was on my computer at home that we had to get cleaned off that was prompting that site to pop up every time I logged into the legitimate Wells Fargo site. It wouldn't happen on other computers, just on my home computer. So be just unbelievably careful about giving away personal information, even to entities that you think you're doing business with, because it can be somebody spoofing that call, that number, or doing a fake website that looks just like the Wells Fargo site. So just be very careful. And on that same sort of topic, you've got to be careful sometimes when you're typing in websites or dialing phone numbers to entities and people that you do business with, because if you mistype a website by one letter or mistype a phone number by one number, somebody may be squatting on that number that's close to the phone number of AT&T, for example. This happened to my dad. He was calling to activate an iPhone. He called the phone number. He misdialed by one number, and he got a person, and they said, you know, AT&T customer service, how can I help you? He wanted to get my dad's credit card information to charge it $300 for some additional protection.
Wow.
That he had to have because he had a new iPhone. He didn't trust the guy. He said, I want to talk to your supervisor, and he wouldn't transfer him. He hung up, looked at the phone, and saw that, oh, my goodness, I misdialed by one number, and these people are kind of sitting on that number hoping you'll call. Then they act like they're AT&T, and they try to gather your information and get credit card information that way. I know that happens online, too.
Wow.
If you type something just barely, you'll get a fake website that acts like it's the one you were trying to get to. So just be very, very careful in that situation as well.
Yeah, and that goes back to healthcare.gov and the Obamacare mm-hmm. websites. There's so many websites that are very similar in name and nature to these state exchanges, and you may think you're the state exchange, but you're not. So Google around and make sure you're at the official state exchange, kind of taking us back to that number one scam. Okay, a couple others that are just real quick here is the is you go out and start to Google top scams in America, there's obviously the lottery scam, where if someone says you've won a lottery and you're going to get big money, but you need to pay us for an admin fee to receive the money. And it may be thousands, it could be hundreds of dollars, in order to get your lottery winnings. And they'll look very, very official. They'll talk very, very officially. They may even follow it up with mail or emails until they get your admin fee, and then they disappear. So be careful of the I won the lottery admin fee. Next is the Nigerian help me, I'm stranded in an airport in Nigeria email. And yeah. I just need a little bit of money so I can help you out and release these funds that are in my bank account. Please help me. Watch out for those. Oh, those should be obvious, but they're out there. Jerem, tell us real quick about the trademark scam, if you don't mind. I want to hit that one, and then just one more before we wrap up the show here. But quickly, the trademark scam.
It's very similar to when you register an entity with the state, because when you do a trademark, the trademark information, much of it becomes public record, and there are people that are out there that will gather that that information up and then send you, usually in the mail, a mailing that looks very official, that has a very official name on it, that it's from some sort of department with the government that says, look, if you want full protection from your trademark, you need to sign up for this, or you need to pay us this amount, or give us this information. And it's just scammers, again, trying to look official. I do our trademarks for the firm, and I get calls from my clients. I always warn them ahead of time, but almost every time I do a trademark, saying, hey, I didn't know I had to pay this extra fee of $800. You don't. That's somebody soliciting, trying to act like they're the government when they're not. They're offering a service that may have some value, very limited value, but most people don't need it, and they certainly don't need to pay $800 for it, and it's certainly not required. It's kind of a variation on that same theme.
Okay, I love it. Okay, folks, I'm going to wrap up with the last one here, and we've got 3 minutes left, and I want to make an important point here. Some people out there will call the scam of multi-level marketing a scam, or get-rich-quick schemes are a scam, or starting the home-based small business scam. Well, that can be very elusive. It can be a scam sometimes, and it can be the best thing in the world for you and your situation. Be careful of the blanket statement that all multi-level marketings, when I say MLM, I'm talking about multi-level marketing, it's some sort of lotion or juice or something like that. There are very legitimate companies that have multi-level marketing system. There's great small businesses that you can start from your home, and you're going to get emails or see websites for this. And there are great ways to make income quickly, sales or internet-based businesses. However, be cautious of huge upfront fees. Be careful to do your due diligence. Talk to other people that have done these businesses. And the beauty of the web is that you can go out and Google and say, how many of you others out there have done this business? Have you really made money? And you'll quickly find, with some basic research in an hour on the web at night, which one of these business opportunities is a scam and which ones are legitimate. So get out there. Start a small business. Look at MLMs. Look at ways to make money quick. I'm cool with that. But just do your homework. So, Jerem, any final words here before we get close to wrapping us up for the week?
Just dovetailing on what you said. Yeah, the takeaway from this discussion today and this radio show is not don't do anything ever. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah,
it's be careful. Look before you leap. If it smells fishy, it probably is, but it may not be. But find out. Take time. If somebody's pressuring you in to do this now, or we're going to miss it, or I've got to have your credit card information now, or this has to be done right this second, that's a red flag. There are great opportunities out there. There are more of those opportunities than there ever have been because of the internet and the exciting things that are going on. Just pay attention. Don't look before you leap. Take a step back. Get some advice. That's all I'm saying.
I love it. Jerem, thanks so much for joining me. Everybody listening today, thank you. I know it was a marathon getting through all these potential scams that are out there facing you. Please share this webinar, I should say webinar recording of the show, the podcast, with friends or family. Get the link, and it'll be in the newsletter next week. Thank you so much for listening. Keep living the dream. Don't give up, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.